Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubber and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
today on the radio show, Jonah Jordan's going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk a little Memphis football and Memphis basketball with Pam Cubbins, University of Memphis, for the Daily Memphian. Barrett Sally is going to join us after that. It's a big football game coming up this weekend, isn't there?
I haven't heard.
Yeah. I believe it's 1-2. It's my understanding. And the President of the United States is going to be in attendance.
According to the AP poll, it's 1-2.
According to the AP poll.
And the coach's poll.
But not according to the playoff rank.
Yes, not for the made-for-TV event.
Anyway, Barrett Tully will join us to talk about that, college football generally. Chris Harrington will join us at 10 o'clock or so. He was in better form last night where the Grizzlies won themselves a basketball game. Steve White is going to join us to talk about the NFL. Intriguing game tonight. Do you think it's an intriguing game tonight? Who's better team, Raiders, Chargers?
I think the Raiders have been a more consistent team. I think the Chargers probably
have a higher end. You have a higher. I mean, clearly what they just did at Green Bay was impressive.
For all the jokes about Gruden not being able to coach,
doing a nice job with this team.
I even thought last year, I just thought they were so bad. But like, if you watch them play, I thought they were a well-coached team. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing with this team. They are limited in terms of talent, but I do think
they don't have anyone to throw to.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't have a great back end.
Do not have a back
end. Speaking as someone who doesn't have a great back end.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I cannot say the same. Plenty of junk in that.
So, anyway, intriguing game. We'll talk to Steve White about that and other matters when he joins us at 10:25 or so. But the big news today, I think we have a star on our hands.
Agreed.
I think the Memphis Grizzlies have a true star on their hands. And they have had very fine players before, even Hall of Famers. Pau Gasol, Hall of Famer. Zebo? No?
I think Zebo's borderline. I do agree with you 100%. Pau's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Pau's unquestionably going to be in the Hall of Fame. And honestly, for he won two world titles. He
storied international career. Off,
and a storied international career. Yeah, Pau was unquestionably. Zebo probably not, but borderline. But it's clearly a great player. Marc Gasol, great player, all-stars. Mike Conley never made an all-star team, but splendid, distinguished player. Some very fine players on this team.
Sure.
No one who you would ever, if you're in another city, Tony Allen is you might have turned to watch? I don't think so. Like, no one who you would have said.
Let's, I don't think
we
so.
We understood the appeal of Tony Allen. But he arrived here, he had just played in the – when he arrived here, he had just played in the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And Memphis didn't appreciate what he was. People didn't really understand. He was
completely
just a, he was. He
I
was
remember
like,
the signing, and I remember someone trying to talk me into it, and I was like, okay. I mean, it wasn't like I was like, that's stupid. It's just – thinking that that type of signing was going to be as impactful.
We certainly didn't
as it
know
was.
He was the star personality
sure.
that he would certainly become. And so I think it's fair to say that Memphis has never had a true star. Memphis had had acquired tastes. Memphis had had if you appreciate the nuance of basketball. Memphis has had, but Memphis has never had a true star who. Kids in here's how you define it. Kids in other cities wear the jersey of that player just because it's an awesome player.
Yeah, I would say
isn't that isolate
it? Because, quantify-
I mean, now listen, there are kids in Barcelona who wear Gasol jerseys.
Right. No,
but
I'm
not
know what
counting
you're
that. Is anyone anywhere in this country besides Ohio State or somewhere wearing a Mike Conley jersey? Just no.
Highly unlikely.
Anyone wearing a now kids wear POW jerseys, but not in other cities outside L.A., like, or whatever he played. Not in places outside he played. Even he's even a Hall of Famer. No one ever did that. Any kid, little kid out there in Miami wearing a Zeebo jersey?
No.
Will kids in other cities? So who qualifies? Steph? Clearly. That's the leader. That's the leader. That's
Steph.
The one. That's the Jordan? Not Jordan, obviously, was the one. But LeBron?
Yes. So I think the
– Steph?
Harden,
KD,
Westbrook.
Harden, Westbrook, the Greek Freak. Do you think you see some of those? I think you see some of those now.
You do, but it's still not at the other level.
No, I don't think so either.
I
Antetokounmpo doesn't fit neatly on a jersey, though. That could be partly why.
Yeah, especially the youth sizes.
Especially the youth sizes. So if that's your definition, I don't think anyone's yet wearing Morant jerseys, but will people, kids in Chicago, be wearing Ja Morant jerseys?
Yes, because he plays a game that is like electric. You can't
it's
take your eyes off.
It's unbelievable. His handle, his angles, his elevation, his explosiveness,
his quickness,
his vision, it is staggering. It is just why I feel like I'm. Listen, last night Dylan Brooks led the way for the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks got hot, right? I mean, last night they won. For a lot of reasons. One reason is they hit a bunch of shots. They shot 57% from the field.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
52% from three.
Yeah, that's a great place to start.
And Dylan Brooks scored 31 points. He was 5 of 7 from three. So what Dylan Brooks had was a hot shooting night and good. Like, that's good. That's better than the shooting nights we've been seeing from most of the Grizzlies most of this year, right? But that's just like you make
most
shots.
Most certainly.
You make shots, you win games. Everything looks better. You make shots.
Yes, your and, offense looks like it. Oh, man. Whatever.
Yeah, all of a sudden, boom, this looks great. That's why they, as much as anything, that's why they won the game. They made shots. Helped that the Timberwolves didn't look great and were missing their backcourt, essentially. But they shot Grizzlies shot 57%, 52% from three.
Yeah, I would,
so that's
I would
why
even
they won.
Specify the 52% for three.
And Dylan went off, and that was great. But do I count on that happening again? No. What I do count on happening again is Ja Morant being Ja Morant. And he had 26 in 26 minutes.
Effective.
He was 26-4-4. He has now scored three straight games of 20 or more points. First rookie to do that for the Memphis Grizzlies since OJ Mayo. He is now averaging 20 points a game, north of 20 points a game.
In very limited minutes.
In limited minutes. He's averaging north of 20 points a game, north of 5 assists a game, and he's shooting north of 50% from the field. He had 14 points. He's also becoming a finisher. He had 14 points in the fourth quarter. The only players who have scored more points in the fourth quarter this year are James Harden and Damian Lillard.
Who?
And he wasn't supposed to be a scorer. Like, that's not what Ja was going to come in and he was going to struggle to score. He also, you cannot take your eyes off of him. That shot that he hit off the top of the backboard in the fourth quarter last night was absolutely phenomenal. He's a killer. He's become a killer. Now, he didn't hit anything deep. He didn't hit a jumper last night. But it didn't almost doesn't matter. Like, he can do anything he wants. He can get anywhere he wants. He's too quick for you to stay in front of him. It was mind-blowing. And you have the Grizzlies very clearly have a star on their hands. We're not going to play all the highlights from last night, but we are going to play the Ja Morant highlights last night because I think you should hear what a star sounds like. The narrator here of these highlights, Eric Hasseltine. Let's just roll.
DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody
Wiggins to the baseline, hangs and reverses it up and in off the window. Wow, what a move by Ja Morant on a quick move through the baseline. Left wing, Morant goes towards the baseline. Gives for Caboclo. Had the three, didn't take it. Drives, gives back to Morant. 10 on the shot clock. Morant up and under Towns. Oh, he left him hanging in the air. The rookie just got through the big all-star and floats it up and in. 7 for Morant. Beautiful move on the baseline there. Morant lobs for Clark. Look out below. Two-handed hammer. There's the alley-oop you were talking about. Morant to Clark. Clark throws it down. He's got 12. That was a highlight reel play. Morant in between the circles, working on Travion Graham. Gets by him to the rim. Lays it up on the window with the left hand, and it falls into the net. Bucket for Ja Morant. And Travion Graham got a little taste of how quick the rookie is. He's now in double figures again. Morant puts the brakes on. Hesitation move to the foul line. Little 12-footer, no good. Got his own miss. Put it up and in. Ja Morant staying with the play. Nice little move by the rookie. He's not shooting it particularly a high percentage tonight, but he's got 12 points along with 3 assists. Hill left elbow gives Morant on a backdoor cut to the rim and a two-handed jam. Quick move, Ja Morant. He dunks it home. Nice bounce pass on the feed from Dylan Brooks. Grizzlies up by 4, 110-106. Ja Morant, deep right wing, around a screen from Clark. Morant probes to the elbow. Step back, 14-footer, knocks it down off the left foot. Tough angle. Ja Morant with the bucket. He's got 18. Morant, left wing, Anderson gives for Crowder. Up top for Morant. Morant weaves inside the foul line. Hanks floats it up off the window. Shot it over Towns and gets it to go. Ja Morant with another beautiful move. He's got 20 again tonight.
He's got 20. He's got 16 field goal attempts, too. He said he was going to be more aggressive, and he needed to do it. He's delivering on that promise. And they
stay there. Morant managing the game. Couple of dribbles behind his back. Nice dribble move there. 4 on the shot clock. Morant drives, throws it up with the left hand onto the iron, and he scores. Oh, he just lulled Towns to sleep. Went to the lane with the left hand, never touched it with his right, and floated it home. 24 for Ja Morant.
Ended up with 26 in 26 minutes, 26-4-4. We have a star on our hands. And by the way, don't ever tell me that where you pick in the draft doesn't matter because the Grizzlies are going to blow it anyway or any of that nonsense. Every draft slot matters. Last night, you had the 2nd pick in the draft and the 6th pick in the draft on the court. One is Ja Morant and one is Jared Culver. One is Ja Morant. And one is Jared Culver. The Grizzlies got incredibly lucky and were able to pick a guy who is going to redefine this franchise and be the future of the franchise going forward. Jared Culver might turn into a solid player. That is the difference. That is right there the difference between 2 and 6. Clark had a nice night. He was actually plus 30 on the night. He was plus 30 on the night, 7 of 7 from the field, 18 points. Now, mind you, he's 23. So you kind of expect him to be a little more advanced. But anyway, in just 22 minutes, 18 points in just 22 minutes. Jonas was good again, double-double, 10 of 14. That's his, like, 5th double-double in the last 6 games or something like that. And that was, there you go. Jaren Jackson Jr., had probably the worst game of his career. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. Whereas Clark was plus 30 in 18 minutes. Jaren was minus 22 in 15 minutes. He picked up 2 quick fouls, and as Chris points out in his piece at the Daily Memphian, it was not when he was guarding Karl Anthony Towns. One was an offensive foul, one was one. And so so he then, in the beginning of the second half, picks up a third. It's an offensive foul. He's pulled out. Basically, he doesn't come back. He doesn't. Taylor Jenkins just sat him, said, let's try again another night. So I'm not flipping out about Jaren Jackson Jr. It is a rough start to his second season. He is still abundantly talented. He is still younger than Ja Morant. I like the future of Jaren Jackson Jr., but you have to admit that last night was not was certainly not his night, and this has not been a great start. It's a year when Chris said he thinks that what he wants to see from Jaren Jackson Jr. is for him to consolidate his status as an impact player in the NBA. So far, he is not consolidating. He needs some consolidating is yet to be done. But it was the story for me, even more than Dylan Brooks scoring 31, was Ja last night, and Ja as a finisher last night, and Ja as a killer last night. And so we have a situation where we have had, in the space of 5 days, Saturday to Wednesday, we have had game day come to town and the city be a wild success. We have had ABC telecast Memphis beating, televised Memphis beating SMU. So we have all that extravaganza. That's the first thing that happened. We then had James Wiseman make his debut for the Memphis Tigers and look absolutely electric. And then we had Ja Morant last night finishing off the Minnesota Timberwolves and once again showing his potential. Of those three events, rank them in two different categories.
Okay.
Which is the biggest? Which is the bigger event? Just by just standing alone. Standing alone, not implications, just like which was the biggest thing that happened in order. And then secondly, which of those three things will prove to be most meaningful over the long haul?
Okay, so I'll rank them in standalone games.
Standalone games.
Which was
the most important events happening. Saturday's all wrapped up into one. It's one thing.
Yes, so okay. I say Saturday is number one. I think you have to go James Wiseman 2, Ja 3 in terms of their individual merits.
In terms of the occasion, how big was the occasion in Memphis, Tennessee? That's got to be the right order. Saturday was one of the biggest things, sporting events, that has ever taken place in Memphis, Tennessee. It was honestly, it was a civic event.
Yes.
My running group, the CIL Runners, I was running last night, and I was talking to a woman, Kelly, and she doesn't really care about sports at all.
Sure.
And all she talked about.
Wait,
is how
you can do that?
She was talking about just how great it was for the city. It was a civic event. It was a civic celebration, and it was easily the most important thing that has happened in the last 5 days as a standalone event. Sensational, just wonderful fun, great event. James, you have two. I think that's clearly number two because it was his debut. It was in many ways a game that you sort of knew they'd win. So. In that sense, it wasn't a particularly significant game. Beating South Carolina State is not a significant game. But James Wiseman's debut in front of a big crowd and doing what he did, being the clear star of the show, exceeding all expectations, getting on the SportsCenter, high up on SportsCenter, that was clearly number two. And then number three was the Grizzlies getting the win over the T-Wolves with Ja Morant nailing it down once again. Now, rank them separately for long-term implications for sports in Memphis.
Ja has to be one because you're going to get more than, for sure, 1 year out of him. Also, I thought it was interesting last night. Not that it was a huge night in sports, but Ja Morant was also early in SportsCenter. Now, a lot of that was kind of conversation also about the Timberwolves, so
right.
They're not mutually exclusive, but...
Yep.
They were definitely a bit...
Once again, it was the third most important event of the week.
Yep.
It was easily the most important event in terms of long-term implications
yes.
for the future because Ja Morant is going to be here. I hate to say this. Ja Morant is much more important to the future of the sports in the city than James Wiseman is. Wiseman is critically important. He could win a national championship
sure.
here, A. And then secondly, he could set the stage for more recruits to come and
correct.
Whatever else. I think it's a toast in terms of what's more important long term, what happened Saturday or what happened Tuesday night. I think it's a close call.
I agree. I think I would lean towards James over
Okay, what's the what could be the long-term implications of each of those events?
So with James Wiseman, the fact that James Wiseman was the number one pick or whatever, number one recruit.
By the way, I don't, after watching Cole Anthony last night, this is going to be a fight.
Yeah, because he's also
like this bodes well for the Grizzlies. Go like the freshmen in college basketball are off to a rip roaring start for a draft that is supposed to be weak. They're absolutely killing it. But okay, so for a guy who's supposed to be number one, for him to come out,
correct? He's not only is he the best, you know, the best player on the floor. It was noticeable how impactful he is to this team, and the way I told it. I said it to Mark, was you watch this team without him and you go, that's not a top 15 team. And then you watch what they look like with him on the floor. You're like, oh, that's right. What Penny was talking about. And you go, that's clearly a top 15 team.
So Wiseman,
and so it could set the, it sets the future, like as in if he's as good as he has been and he takes them on a run, all of the negatives that you could use against Penny Hardaway and his program, it goes away.
Right. Well, yes. And the immediate future is you could have a deep tournament run.
Yes.
And then the long-term future, you could set the stage for if James becomes what he can become and if he's drafted very high in the draft, et cetera, it sets Memphis up to continue winning at a high level. And I don't think that that's disputable. That is, that there's a clear link there. Now, the argument for the football would be that this has long-term implications. Some have said, listen, if they ever get into the Big 12, Saturday will be a reason why. Someone tweeted that at me, right? That Saturday will be a reason why. That it shows the rest of the world what Memphis can do. That it honestly shows, reminds the administration what football can look like here when it's of the potential of this program. So both externally and internally, it could have implications. To that, I would say it's possible, but not necessary. Not necessarily true. It might conceivably, but it's a pretty tenuous link. I think Saturday was more important just as a celebration Saturday rather than this is going to get Memphis somewhere. It might possibly, but the link is so tenuous that I would rank them in terms of long-term implications. What happened last night is one. James Wiseman is two, and what happened Saturday is three.
I would also add
the exact reverse of in terms of how important they were this particular week.
I would also add Mike Norvell does show what happens when you make a good hire after already making a good hire.
Right. Now they're always trying to make a good hire. They're not trying. You never try to make a bad hire. All right, we got to take a break. Jonah Jordan's going to join us next. Then Barrett Salee, then Chris Harrington, then Steve White. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guess what?
What?
Xfinity Internet. Internet's better because it streams better. Introducing Xfinity Flex, a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place so they're not scattered across a bunch of apps.
Nice.
Plus, it has over 10,000 free shows and movies.
Even nicer.
And it's all searchable with the Xfinity voice remote, so you can search less and watch more. It's not just easy.
It's effortless.
And it gets better.
No.
Yes, because it's not expensive. It's included with Xfinity Internet for no additional cost.
Wow.
You can say that again.
Wow.
Get internet that internet's better. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. And add a Flex 4K streaming device on us. Go to Xfinity.com/Flex, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Howie, how did Robert Irwin Jewelers start?
Started by my Uncle Robert and my Dad Irwin on 7 West 45th Street in New York City. In search of a better life for our family, they found Memphis.
And what inspires you to keep the Robert Irwin Jewelers tradition?
The mission is treasures for life for less. I'm here for life's beautiful moments to help you celebrate. Engagements, anniversaries, Christmases to come, birthdays.
And you're always there.
Yeah, it's what I do. Bigger, brighter diamonds, perfect ring guarantee, zero down up to 72 months to pay, rijewelers.com. Come see me. me.
Are you looking for a stress reliever? Why not a massage or facial from Massage Envy Spa? With four convenient locations, you can go today. Our licensed massage therapist will melt your stress away. Or for more pampering, try our special services, including chemical peels and microdermabrasion. Massage Envy Spa in Collierville at Carriage Crossing, at Poplar at Exeter, and in Midtown on Union Avenue. And our newest location in Cordova on Germantown Parkway. It's not too late to feel better. Relax. It's Massage Envy.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage in fun and warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers can win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile playslip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your playslip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
If you run into Steve Kaufman at Oak Hall, he'll talk to you however you like about two things: baseball and clothes. He loves baseball because his 8-year-old son Dylan looks like he may be headed to the major leagues. He loves clothes because it's what he knows best. Kaufman started working in retail in high school at U.S. Mail. He started his own place downtown. You may remember it, Shelton Clothiers. And then in 2013, he came over to Oak Hall because, as he puts it, it's truly one of the best in the country. It's the pinnacle. So I guess you could say that Oak Hall is like the Yankees, except they have more than pinstripes. Oak Hall is like Boston, except it doesn't limit itself to socks. Oak Hall is like the Cubs, except it never had that long losing streak. Oak Hall is like the Cardinals, and then it feels a lot like family. Steve Kaufman lives in Bartlett. He tells his buddies all the time, just come in and let me show you around. There's something at Oak Hall for everyone. Well, except they don't have spikes. So stop by Oak Hall and find out why it's the pinnacle, why people like Steve Kaufman think of it as Fenway, Wrigley, and Dodger Stadium wrapped up in one. And by all means, ask him about Dylan, his budding baseball star. The summer is just getting underway.
Build your juice? Quick, the Quicker Picker Upper. Bounty is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. It cleans up messes and spills quicker, so you can get back to the party. Bounty, the Quicker Picker Upper.
How do smart, hardworking roofing contractors keep jobs running smoothly? They save time with Beacon. The Beacon Pro Plus app features online ordering, automated rebate tracking, and online bill pay. Choose products like high-quality CertainTeed shingles and accessories. Easily find the style, color, and quantity, and let the app do the ordering for you. With Beacon Pro Plus, order 24/7 from anywhere. You work hard, now work smarter. Download the free app at beaconproplus.com.
Medical malpractice, dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all. Good.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jonah Jordan walked in and he reminded me that it is raining outside. Is it raining outside? Try that again.
I said yes.
Yes, pouring. It's pouring.
Did I do the wrong mic, Jeffrey?
Yeah, no.
That's my bad.
No, say he did the wrong mic. Like, Isaac Hughes, point the finger. One best defense is a good offense. anyway, that means it's raining. That means water could be coming into your home. If you have water coming into whatever, it could be coming into your basement. It could be coming into crawl space, garage, carport, wherever. Water coming in somewhere. You don't want it. It's already miserable enough it's raining. You don't have to worry about that. I had a friend who called Redeemer's Group. Water problem in the basement. I came, sealed it right up. No more water problem. Give them a call at 541-8765, 541-8765. They will come out, assess the situation, and let you know what repairs will cost. And if you want to proceed, mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You get an additional $50 off the repair project. No harm in calling. Only harm could be in waiting. Get water in your place. 541-8765 is the phone number on the web, redeemersgroup.com. Now joined by Jonah Jordan. Jonah, let's get to the news right away. Read the tweet from the man who knows all, Bruce Feldman.
Oh, well, I closed it.
Read the tweet from the man who knows all, Bruce Feldman.
Bruce Feldman tweeted, "It's still very early in the FSU coaching search process, but one name I'm hearing that is getting some traction there is Memphis head coach Mike Norvell."
Keep reading.
"Who is 34-15 with the Tigers, and his buyout is only about $500,000, which it is only $500,000 or so about.
So the way he said was, it's very early.
Yes.
But gaining traction, Mike Norvell. Let's get to our linguist of the program, Jeffrey.
Yes,
gaining
sir.
Traction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the gaining traction way of phrasing something?
I gather that that means that...
You mean Bob Stoops isn't taking the job?
That means not only is Bob Stoops not taking the job, that also means that I think Arkansas is doing some due diligence because they are preparing for perhaps having to make a move Saturday night.
Yeah, they're
going to
have
to. Whoa, how did Arkansas come into this?
How did Arkansas...
Why does Arkansas get involved in gaining traction? What's your theory?
My theory is that Arkansas is...
I know why Arkansas would have to make a change, but why does this tweet have anything to do with Arkansas?
I think Arkansas is very aware that Mike Norvell had quite the stage on Saturday and delivered.
Quite the stage.
And more importantly, I think Arkansas knows that they have to get this one right.
But what does that have to do with Florida State?
Because Florida
State... You think Florida State is looking at him, so Arkansas is thinking of jumping the gun and getting him instead?
Is that what you're indicating? I think Arkansas was regretting not making that hire in the first place, and now they're sitting there going, we have to do something, and if they lose to Western Kentucky with the quarterback
they're going to lose to Western Kentucky.
I mean, I don't. They're both. It's two teams that don't have a ton of talent. I'm not going to sit there and say for sure. I mean, I would pick Western Kentucky, but if you told me Arkansas wins that game, I'm not going, oh, you're high.
Okay, I'm totally down with Arkansas. I still don't understand what it is with Florida State.
With Florida State, it now becomes a situation where if you're Florida State, you probably got word through back channels that a couple of people aren't moving, and maybe you thought Mike Norvell would have been there at the end of the season.
Now
but
he's
now,
not, and so now you're
exactly.
now you're looking at now Mike Norvell too,
right? Because you have to do the move of, okay, do we take a chance and maybe wait this James Franklin thing out? What if he wins against Ohio State and he's in the playoff and we can't even talk to him until January? Like, I think
you miss a whole recruiting class
exactly.
until then.
Let me ask you this. If you're Mike Norvell, which job would you prefer? You have roots in Arkansas, connections to Arkansas, et cetera, but Florida State's legendarily
better
job. Is it clear to you? Go ahead.
Yes, it's clear to me.
Florida State. Okay.
Yeah. I've been talking to people about this for a little bit now, considering that Florida State, Mississippi State, Arkansas, it's all been clear that those could open up for a while now. And, I mean, what's your ceiling at Mississippi State and Arkansas? It's the same as you are at Memphis. It's maybe you get 9-10 wins.
Well, the ceiling is $5 million.
Well,
right. I mean,
at the end of the day,
and I could even make the argument that that ceiling might be higher. But
yeah, the ceiling is $5 million.
It's not a national championship. It's a New Year's Six bowl.
It's a New Year's Six bowl, a special season where you probably win 10 games.
You hang close with Alabama.
Dan Mullen is the ceiling. Dan Mullen is the ceiling, and Hugh Freeze without the scandal at the end is the ceiling, and none of those and. Neither of those two ever got to the SEC title game.
No. And,
exactly.
I mean, Houston Nutt had similar seasons to what Hugh Freeze did, too, for the first two.
You have to reconcile that you're not going to do those things at those places, but you're going to get paid. You're going to have better resources. Maybe you have a special season. Maybe you can convince yourself that, hey, maybe Nick Saban leaves in the next few years, and then we can
still
do the dang
it.
Thing.
You take either of those jobs, don't you?
Now, I would say
I don't know if he takes. I don't know.
I would say the counter would also be if you have a 6-6 season. If you have a 6-6 season at Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, one of those type jobs, that's not going to bury you. That's not putting you on the hot seat.
Right. You can go along comfortably at when going to bowl games.
If you average
8-4,
average 8-4 at those jobs, you will be
a job for an extremely long
period of time.
Yes, but
so carry on, Jonah.
Mike Norvell is very happy at Memphis. Very, very happy at Memphis. They're building an indoor practice facility.
He's a Memphian.
Yeah, and he said that multiple times in the last week that he is a Memphian, that he considers
himself to be a Memphian. Has he kept repeating himself?
Yes, yes. He said it a lot, that he considers himself to be a Memphian at this point.
Yeah.
which I think is
so
important.
Okay, but you do believe he'd take the Arkansas job, don't you?
Come on. I do.
I think he'd think about it.
Yes, and he'd absolutely take the Florida State job.
Oh, yeah, there's
no
question.
It would be better for Memphis if, in terms of which of those jobs that he could pop to, if he were to pop to one.
Florida State.
Easily better than you go to Florida State, right? Because it gets him out of this recruiting area. And honestly, because if you're in Mississippi State, you might take a bunch of the players that you recruited to Memphis this year.
Yeah, well, he'll probably do that. I mean, that.
I don't know how many take to Florida State. Like, that's you need a different level of recruit at Florida State.
But
your best players at Memphis you're getting basically are three stars. Which players has he committed who are Florida State level players?
I think Kentarius Taylor is.
Okay,
he's a. I'd have to go back and the kid they have down in Louisiana, the quarterback. He's probably close to it, as close to it. But you're right. I mean,
he wouldn't take a lot of guys, and he wouldn't compete much in the future except for, like, the elite guys. He could come into Memphis and get an elite guy now.
Oh, he absolutely could.
He could probably get guys to Florida State that he can't get to Memphis, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like, he would immediately become a force in recruiting Louisiana. Like,
all right, but if this is going to play out this way, Jeffrey, if they make a change, if Arkansas makes a change Saturday, do they call Jimmy on Sunday or Saturday night, or they already have?
They already have.
I think they already have.
Yeah, they clearly already have. Okay, are we saying we think the odds are? What are the odds that Mike Norvell will be the coach at Memphis next year?
I would say right now 70% is what I'm leaning towards.
Jeffrey?
He's a little higher than I was. I thought it's a coin flip. I do think Jonah and I have discussed this.
I think it's lower than that, but, I mean, and I know he loves Memphis.
He loves Memphis, and
that it's 40.
I think it's a 50-50 shot, and because Jonah and I have discussed this.
I'll go with you, 50-50. Uh-huh.
He has made this job. It's not quite the level that Boise State was in the early part of the decade, but he's made the job where it is a good job, and now he doesn't have to just jump at
a power
five.
And next year he really
doesn't
have to.
And he's getting paid well.
He gets Brady back, and Brady, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, looks like he's a good quarterback.
I mean, they're going to be next
year. They're going to be better next year.
Yeah, next year could be their best team. They're getting Brady. Kenny Gainwell's going to be back. You have Asa Martin coming into the fold. Kendarius Taylor. You've got athletes all over the field. It's a pretty solid recruiting class that he's bringing in. I mean, next year, I mean, like, they're really good this year.
And now you're finally going to have the damn practice facility.
Yeah, you're going to finally have the IPF. You can recruit with that. You can actually go and practice in there when you need to. Like,
so you think 70% chance he's back?
Right now, yeah, just because of looking at the landscape, looking at what's open. I know he loves Memphis. I don't know how infatuated he would be with going to Arkansas after they fired Chad Morris, considering that you're going to have to lose at Arkansas. You're going to have to lose to Mississippi State.
It is such rock bottom at Arkansas now that they're going to cut you a little slack, don't you think?
I think so, and also I could make the argument with Mike. He has proven in his career that he is good at taking other people's players and getting production out of them. And also you could look at this. I don't think Ole Miss is on the rise. I don't think Mississippi State is on the rise. And there is a—
Poor Matt Luke.
There is an opportunity— And he's getting $5 million. He'll be fine. There is an opportunity to— I'm not saying you're going to become the class of the West immediately, but there is an opportunity to quickly turn this thing into a 6-6 type job. And if you do that within 2 years, you're on the Matt Rule path at Baylor.
We are getting way ahead of ourselves, obviously. But I also think that
it's
if Arkansas
radio, there's no such thing as being ahead of
yourself. Okay, well, if Arkansas does end up opening,
does he know the rules here?
No, clearly
he doesn't.
I don't know the rules.
Ahead,
I think that if Arkansas were to open, I do not think Mike would be their first call. I think Gus Malzahn would be, and that we're going to do that all over again.
And what's the chance of that happening, Jeffrey?
Oh boy.
Does he still have a monster buyout?
He does.
Yeah,
it's huge. Let me present you a scenario. Gus has a monster buyout, but what if Arkansas calls Auburn and goes, all right, here's the deal. We know how this is going to go. Why don't you
negotiate down the buyout?
More importantly, why don't you pay Chad Morris's buyout, which I think is like $12, $13 million, and then Arkansas gets off the hook for having to fire – after 2 years and all the buyouts you have to pay there. Auburn saves money because they don't have to pay a $26 million
then
buyout.
Then Mike Norvell to Auburn.
I don't.
That's too big. They wouldn't do that.
No.
I think Auburn is fishing. If Auburn gets into that position, I think Auburn is fishing bigger than that.
Bob Stoops would come up again.
I don't think. I think you'd hear I think you'd hear James Franklin.
Yes, correct.
Well, all this is fun. What's the deal with Patrick Taylor?
Oh, he was talking yesterday, which
I know
huge for the first time since before the Ole Miss
tweeted
game.
It out. Is he going to be playing against Houston?
I
sounds
think
like
we're
it.
Getting closer to that. I think.
What do we
him
think
even,
the injury was?
It was a foot injury.
Foot injury. Like a stress fracture or something?
No, there was no fracture.
There was no fracture.
Okay. I think he is getting closer. Him talking to the media was a big signal to me that he's
what's
closer
his
to
future?
Being cleared.
Is he how many games? How many games has he played?
One. He's played one game. He can play three more and still get redshirted. I don't think they have decided that yet. I still think
do you
they
think
need
he
to
wants
decide.
To come back, or does he just want to turn pro just to not because he had a great year?
I think
obviously he hasn't, but he's going to be a big, strong guy who's probably going to be drafted in the late rounds anyway, right?
Yeah, I think that his immediate concern is just getting out on the field, and seeing
see what
how
happens,
he feels. See how he feels. See if. Yesterday, I mean, I wrote on the DailyMemphian.com, you can go read it, that the big thing that he's doing is he needs to be comfortable. He wants to feel like he's himself before he gets back out on the field. And NFL scouts need to see that he is himself. Norvell talked about it a few
There's
weeks
no,
ago.
He's hurting everybody if he goes out and is not great.
Yes.
He doesn't help the team. He doesn't help himself.
Yes. Norvell talked about it a few weeks ago. He said that in a case like this where the NFL is at stake, you have to be – like everybody's watching you, you have to be yourself. You have to
right.
you have to go out there and play well. One playing well comes with the NFL stuff comes with playing well. You can't just sit around not doing anything and expect to be the same as you were last year.
What do you think his mood is? Like, it would bother me. I would be happy for my brother Kenny Gainwell, but I would wish
I
were my
brother.
Kenny.
Yeah. I asked him about Kenny, and he got the biggest smile on his face.
Really?
Yeah, he. Legitimately is
people
so happy
people are so much
for
better
him.
Than I am.
Like, Patrick Taylor is such a good human being.
Right.
And he is just, he's grabbed that leadership role by the horns and really run with it. I mean, he's set up things like, I mean, they do a team Bible study
right,
with Patrick
that.
Taylor. They do, like, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you could see him on the sidelines huddled
well,
up with
the
Kenny.
Idea that he told Antonio Gibson to, you know, shift the ball to his other hand. There he's not playing. He's still deeply involved. What was the most fun you had Saturday? Did you go down there Saturday morning?
Yeah.
You
I was
there.
With
I didn't
you.
See you. When?
I was literally, we had like three conversations.
It's all a blur.
The most
me.
Fun I had, man, I was up, I was in the crowd all day. It was so much fun, but I really, the most fun I had Saturday was the first time, I said this on the DailyMemphian.com podcast with Drew Hill that we did yesterday. The first time I heard the crowd, the full crowd,
at
when
the,
they hit their peak at the Liberty Bowl, that was probably the best moment.
It was surreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was insane. Yeah,
you can read Jonah's stuff at the Daily Memphian. Has a piece up on Patrick Taylor. I have tweeted it out. Read his coverage of Memphis football and everything else at the Daily Memphian. We'll be back in a moment with Barrett Sally. We'll talk to him about this coaching stuff. In addition to everything else, Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary and range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished a normal sexual life. The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hannah Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located Broad at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Right now at Thompson Machinery, your local Cat dealer, get 0% for 60 months with zero down on select new Cat compact equipment. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or rent, we've got the right solution to fit your job site needs. Call Thompson Machinery at 901-245-6337 or visit tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. That's Thompson Machinery at 901-245-6337 or tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention drivers. Join McLane in Memphis for an upcoming hiring event. Come see us November 12th, 13th, and 14th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at 6415 Shelby View Drive in Memphis. McLane has immediate opportunities for CDLA drivers, driver trainees, and shuttle drivers. Start earning great pay and generous benefits. Learn more at driveformcLaneMemphis.com. That's driveformcLaneMemphis.com. McLane Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Joined now by Barrett Selle, college football writer for CBS Sports, host of SiriusXM College Sports Radio, on Twitter at Barrett Selle. Barrett, who's going to get the Florida State job?
Oh, man. If I had to guess right now, I've gone back and forth, but I'm going to say Mark Stoops. I think their first call will be to Matt Rhule, but I don't necessarily think he's going to want to stay because he's been a candidate for NFL jobs. So unless they build in some language where it's airtight that he can't leave for the NFL, I would say they move on and get Mark Stoops.
Is Arkansas, if they lose Saturday, are they going to make a change?
If who does?
Arkansas. Is Arkansas going to make a change? Yeah.
Oh, man. Losing to Western Kentucky and your former quarterback, Ty Story,
yep,
would not go well for Chad Morris. I don't think so. I think that he'll get another year, but this is bad. I mean, it's been a very bad sophomore season for Chad Morris at Arkansas. So I think he sticks around, but I think the only way that I'm wrong would be if there's a more established head coach that might want a soft landing spot, and Arkansas be that soft landing spot, and there's one in eastern Alabama, in a town next to Opelika, that might want a soft landing spot in Arkansas.
You can imagine that happening? You can imagine Gus Malzahn to Arkansas?
I can put together a series of events that would make it happen, yes.
Partly I ask you about Florida State and I ask you about Arkansas because there is a coach here in this very city who had a pretty big stage Saturday and delivered on that stage Saturday. And so people are obviously wondering, if Mike Norvell has a chance at either of those jobs, or if, in fact, he'll be back next year. What are your thoughts on Mike?
I don't think he'll be back at Memphis. I think he's going to get a job. Would Florida State hire him? I would think that they should, knowing how dysfunctional that program is and David Coburn, his decision-making. I don't necessarily think they would go that direction. If Arkansas makes a change, their first call should be Mike Norvell. If Joe Moorhead goes from Mississippi State to Rutgers, Mississippi State's first call should be Mike Norvell. If Matt Luke moves on from Ole Miss should call him. So I don't think he'll be there next year. He'll get something. I just don't necessarily know what.
The problem is when you go through those, if Florida State's going to hire Mark Stoops, and if – I don't know whether Moorhead now – you know, there's reports that Schiano's leading the way at Rutgers. I don't know whether that's true. So Moorhead doesn't maybe not go anywhere. Arkansas, you just said, may not make a change, or if they do, they might try to for Gus Malzahn. And I don't know that Ole Miss is going to make a change. I think they probably won't. I get it. Like, but when you start going through them, are any of those – probable for Mike? They all seem improbable for one reason or another.
I could see Kentucky hiring him. If Florida State hires Mark Stoops, Kentucky would be open, and I could see Kentucky hiring him.
And would you take that job if you're Mike, or would you wait for a better one? Like, all his players are coming back. His best players are all coming back. Like, there's no hurry if you're Mike. Now that Brady's turned out to be a good quarterback, it looks like. Is Kentucky a job you leave for?
Well, I mean, if you're going to leave for if he would leave for Mississippi State, yeah, or Ole Miss or Arkansas, why wouldn't he
leave for
Kentucky?
They're the same.
Yeah, I mean, and the SEC East, and Kentucky's got great facilities. I mean, that place is immaculate. I would if I was him, for sure.
I don't know if you could I don't know if Memphis could take losing another coach to Kentucky. Honestly, I don't know that would go over well. All right. Well, thanks for the good cheer there, Barrett. Did you have any problems with the college football playoff standings?
I didn't have many problems with it. I mean, you can put them in whatever order you want. I mean, the truth of the matter is the landscape's the landscape. You know, for the undefeated teams, no matter where you put them right now, the same stuff has to happen. We'd just be talking about seeding. I was surprised. The mixed messages on Alabama and Clemson were bizarre to me, because it seemed like they only used eye test for Alabama, and then Penn State, why do they not look better, considering they are, their resume is significantly better than Alabama. I don't necessarily get that. If you have Clemson below Penn State, then why don't you have Alabama below Penn State too? So that was odd. I was surprised, and I don't necessarily know how this works, why Oregon and Utah are above Oklahoma. I mean, I can get valuing Oregon's loss to Auburn in a positive way, so to speak. But if you're going to do that, then why does Utah get that same benefit of the doubt? Because their loss was USC, and then Oklahoma lost to Kansas State, which is viewed clearly favorably by the committee, because Kansas State's what, 16 or so? I don't know how that worked out. The decision making on those were kind of off to me, especially when you factor in, Georgia, their one loss is far worse than any of those teams, and they don't really have a signature win either, except for Florida, because Notre Dame's not viewed that favorably. So I don't know. The mixed messages were kind of bizarre to me.
Do you think, though, Oklahoma obviously has Baylor still to go. I don't know. Do you think if they win out, if Oklahoma and Oregon win out, who finishes higher? Do you think Oregon is forever now slotted to hire of Oklahoma, or do you think Oklahoma has a chance to leapfrog them?
I mean, I think the Pac-12, if Utah or Oregon went out, that would include a win over the other.
Right.
I would 100% say that the Pac-12 one-loss team is in, because yes, the Big 12 got a little respect. I mean, Oklahoma State was in there, which is, I think, surprising. Obviously, Baylor is Baylor.
Yep.
You know, but and Kansas State is Kansas State. But, I mean, that Pac-12 one-loss champ looked pretty darn solid.
All right, there's a big game this weekend, I hear. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, I'm moving. Big game this weekend, LSU-Alabama. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm driving there right now, actually.
You're driving there right now. You sound like you're driving. Yes. All right.
I'm going to beat the president. I think LSU is going to keep it close. I do think that in the end, Alabama will take the blueprint that Auburn provided defensively and build off of it. I mean, Alabama doesn't have the defensive players that Auburn does right now, but they also have Nick Saban, and they also have the luxury of time. And so 2 weeks with that sort of knowledge with Nick Saban, I'll put my money on him any day of the week. So I think it'll be a lower scoring game than Vegas maybe wants it to be. And I think Alabama gets it done. I think Tua, you know, they're going to use that RPO game, and really they don't run him that much anyway. So, you know, the offense doesn't really have to change all that much. You still run those RPOs. And then you take the top off when it's appropriate. And they've picked and choose their spots for that every single game. And they usually hit. And I don't see why it would change.
Have you been at a game with the president before? And what's it like?
Yes.
What's it like? I mean, is there enhanced security?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Secret Service is no joke. I was at the Bama Georgia National Championship game. They have what? So they... they don't just search your devices. They make you show that they're functional.
Right.
So, like, you know, all of us have, like, our own devices for media, and so it takes a long time. At the Bama-Georgia national title game, they shut down two of the four gates for, 45 minutes, two of them because one was near where he was actually going into the stadium and the other was a decoy. And that was a mess. And that's Atlanta, and that's a new stadium. I mean, Tuscaloosa does not have the infrastructure for this. I mean, they had to build them a suite at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I think it was bulletproof. They're going to probably have to do something similar at Bryant-Denny. I mean, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
All right, there are a couple other interesting games. Penn State plays Minnesota. Thoughts?
I mean, I like Minnesota. It's a cute little story, but Penn State's defense has been. It's a cute little story. I don't think PJ is going to be rowing the boat to a 9-0 record. I think Penn State's defense has been awesome. And, you know, yes, Minnesota's defense has been solid too. But, you know, I don't feature KJ Hamler and Sean Clifford together. That's just magical. So I think they win by double digits.
Tennessee's been a cute little story the way that they have. The way that they have come back. It really has been nice. Like, there is hope now for Tennessee fans, is there not?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they're going to go to a bowl game. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I think they're going to win out. I think they're going to go 7-5. There's hope now. The defense has been playing a whole lot better. You know, Ty Chandler got things going on the ground, you know, last week. And, you know, they've had all these quarterback issues. So to sort of put themselves in a spot now through all of that, to be in a position where you are, you know, showing promise. That's Jeremy Pruitt. I'm not saying he deserves to be SEC Coach of the Year, but this is a phenomenal coaching job for him. Like that, the job he's done after how it started is just remarkable for a second-year head coach.
And for a guy who was literally a punchline, if the Titanic thing, you know, he was a national punchline at that point.
He was.
And you're absolutely right. He has recovered very nicely. All right, to wind up, we started on the coaching search. I'll give you one more. USC is going to come open, right? And then who's going to get it?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
100%.
Imagine Clay Helton meeting Mike Bone today after he gets announced as the AD. It's like the Grim Reaper. I've gone back and forth. I mean, Urban is John Gruden for college football. He's going to love to hear his name floated out there, but not really actually take anything. So I think USC is going to get burned by Urban, and at that point, I have no idea where they would go. I think that they would probably at least kick the tires on Chris Peterson at Washington. But after that, I don't know. If they get burned by Urban, I don't know if there's a plan B.
You don't think James Franklin would take it?
I don't know. I mean, Penn State's such a good job for him.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. He's so happy at Penn State, but, I mean, USC would be just, he would kill it there.
Barrett, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Safe travels.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, say hello to the president for us. That is Barrett Sally on Twitter at Barrett Sally. Jeffrey, what did you think of his analysis there? Basically, he said he didn't think Norvell would be back, but let's go through them real quick, right? Mm-hmm. And Jonah, you can jump on this one too if you want. Jonah's still here. So we have
that's Jonah's autobiography.
He's not going to Florida State because he thinks Mark Stoops is going to go to Florida State, right? Or someone else. Doesn't think he's leading the clubhouse for Florida State. You and I agree Ole Miss isn't coming open, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mississippi State, if Moorhead doesn't go to Rutgers, where the hell is he going?
Boston College.
Yeah, but, I mean.
Do you think he might get that?
BC may, maybe. Maybe oh, open ups.
I also don't rule out if Franklin does decide to leave.
That Penn State might just say, well, it's we not, know he screwed up in Mississippi State, but we love him.
And they
he's
might
a fish out of water down there.
Well, they might also.
He really is.
They might also have so many people that go, I'm not following James Franklin. And,
right.
And they wind up going with something that they know.
Okay, so that one's conceivable. Arkansas? He thinks they're going to make it. I don't see how they can bring him back.
I disagree with
if them.
They
lose Saturday.
Oh, I think even they can win Saturday and they're still making a change at the end of the year. I think if they lose Saturday,
they make a change immediately.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.